You're listening to the West End Frame Show. Hello and welcome to the West End Frame Show. I'm your host and West End Frame editor, Andrew Tomlins, and today I'm back on my own for a bonus show talk episode. Because of the bank holiday, your normal episode with your normal stagey catch-up will be coming your way tomorrow on Wednesday. But basically, because I saw so much theatre last week, I knew it would be impossible to squeeze everything in. So coming up on this episode, I will be discussing Pippin, 42 Balloons, Remembrance Monday, and Frankie Goes to Bollywood. And then in tomorrow's episode, I'll be discussing Sister Act and all of the latest news from Theatreland. First up, to celebrate its 50th anniversary, Pippin became the latest show to be staged in concert for two special performances at the Theatre Royal Drury Lane. Katie Lipson produced the show, having previously produced the 2017 production at the Hope Mill Theatre in Manchester, which then transferred to the Southwark Playhouse and was fabulous. Stephen Schwartz's musical has a rich but kind of interesting history. Its 2013 circus-infused Broadway revival starring Bettina Miller really re-lighted the spark for Pippin. It showed us it in a new way. It's all about this guy called Pippin who's searching for the meaning of life and his sense of belonging. And the score features so many incredible empty classics like Corner of the Sky, Magic to Do, Morning Glow, and so many more. And I think maybe there's a kind of a conception that Pippin doesn't work commercially. I think it kind of can, like that Broadway revival showed to us. But it's definitely got a kind of a troubled and complicated history. So that kind of makes it the perfect show to be staged in concert. And in this concert, directed by Jonathan O'Boyle, the most incredible cast were assembled, who delivered. So, first of all, Tony winner Alex Newell starred as the leading player, coming over here from Broadway and blowing everyone away. The riffs, the choices, the sass, the energy, literally everything was perfectly pitched. And it felt like such a treat. I felt lucky to be in that audience watching Alex Newell performing this iconic score, doing this iconic role in London. It was epic. Casting and kind of opportunities like this is exactly how you get people excited about concerts. They smashed it by getting Alex in this role in London. And yeah, they didn't disappoint. It was an incredible performance. I'm still recovering. But then all these amazing names had cameo roles and ran with their moments. It was kind of one after another. So Steezy Strallen as Fastrada was the most camp and epic thing ever. Her number was full out. I've never seen it done like that. She was dancing like I've never seen her dance before, and she literally brought the house down. Cedric Neal, who would also be an incredible leading player one day, played Charlemagne and ripped his heart out and delivered the goods and was sparkling and incredible. It was thrilling to see Patricia Hodge, who interestingly played Catherine in the original 1973 West End production as Bertha. So as always, her number No Time At All got everyone singing along, but she also brought a lot of heart, and during her final chorus I was welling up, and I was so pleased that she returned to the stage after the song for a little bow, and she just took a moment to take in the appreciation from the audience, which was massive. So special to see her in a show which she did such a long time ago in this way at this time. Patricia Hodge is such an incredible talent, and yeah, that was a really wonderful moment too, which made the evening extra special. Idris Carbo stole the spotlight multiple times as Lewis, and Ryan Heenan was Fab as Theo, and then the four players who made up the ensemble were heavily featured throughout and did a lot. They were all brilliant. Their tracks were demanding, they were kind of multi-rolling and dancing full out, and they were fantastic. Joanna Goodwin's choreography felt really suitable for the concert environment, and I was really impressed by that element of the show and how that all came together, assuming with limited rehearsal time. It's worth saying that everyone was off book and kind of scenes were staged, not overly staged, there was nothing overly complicated, but done really nicely in the kind of correct and suitable way for a concert, I think. The orchestra and choir were the perfect backdrop, and with musical direction from Chris Mad, the orchestra were divine. So nice to hear this score perform like that with all those incredible musicians. Like, what a treat. Olivier nominee Jack Yarrow took on the title role, and it was a really great opportunity for him. Jack played Joseph for many years and gave a lovely performance in that. But in that role, I don't think you get to show light and shade and different sides of kind of your talent. So I enjoy getting to watch his performance in this. He got some laughs, he did some lovely things vocally, and he kind of seemed to thrive carrying the show and pushing it forward, and it was really lovely to see. As a concert, this was really brilliantly done. I mean, this is maybe the best one that I've seen so far in this concert era of musical theatre. Pippin is a great show and has great material for a concert. There's great casting and all elements I felt were well done. It just felt like a treat. Like I said, it was a special night, a really special night at the theatre. And I was also pleased to see kind of lots of cameras in the auditorium. Hopefully it was being filmed and we'll get to see it at some point, because I think Pippin in concert at the Theatre Royal Drury Lane will go down in musical theatre history. It was a night to remember. Next up, I took a trip to Media City in Salford, Manchester to see 42 Balloons, the brand new musical by Jack Godfrey, which is receiving its premiere run at the Lowry Theatre. Some of the producing team is the same as 60 Musical. Everyone's looking at this like, what's going on here? They have big plans, surely. Because back in 2022, 42 Balloons was staged in concert at the Vaudeville Theatre, which I saw was kind of part of the workshop phase of the show. It's inspired by the true story of how Larry and his partner Carol convinced their friends and family to help Larry achieve his dream of flying in a lawn chair attached to 42 helium balloons. It's all about what people do to make their dreams come true, and then also explores what is at risk and I guess what the repercussions can be. The show utilises its ensemble as a valuable storytelling device and creates something really refreshing and different. Along with Jack's 80s-inspired pop and kind of light rockish score, 42 Balloons is like nothing else. And it's loud and proud in its style. It knows it's weird and unusual, and that's why it's brilliant and charming. This story is genuinely engaging, and it finds a lot of genuine heart, a lot of genuine joy and sadness, and kind of inspiration and reflections, I think. It feels very real, even though it's almost kind of far-fetched at the same time. Director Ellie Coates and the whole production team have gone bold with this production, and rightly so. It was really fascinating to see it fully staged versus having seen the kind of concert workshop production at the Vaudeville a couple of years ago. Quite literally, the sky's the limit, and everyone has been creative and have embraced theatricality. Miller Clark's design is definitely not what I expected. It feels like you're almost inside a spaceship. The set is kind of egg or balloon-like and shaped to a degree, so the back kind of slopes backwards, allowing the cast to leap up on a bit of the sloping wall, which is clever and paves way for some nice storytelling. And then the bands are on a platform and they're not revealed until kind of halfway through the first act, which was a really thrilling moment. Charlie McLeod and Evelyn Hoskins are reprising their performances as Larry and Carol from the Vaudeville production. Charlie brings heart and quirkiness in all the right places and really leads this show terrifically. He gives a great performance. And then I've seen Evelyn give so many performances over the past 12 years. And this truly was the best of the best. I saw Evelyn Hoskins in a whole new light, sat in my seat at the Lowry Theatre. When she entered as Carol, she brought this whole new dynamic, which the audience soaked up. You could feel it. It was kind of giving Ladies Who Lunch vibe, because it was so chill and basic, yet so detailed and kind of electrifying. She was in total control. She was charming and likable, all whilst giving the most incredible vocal. Literally, the music hit Evelyn's sweet spot time and time again, so beautifully, which felt so satisfying. And as Carol ages throughout the show and kind of time passes, Evelyn's performance grew and was utter perfection. And then she got me emotional. At the end, it was all going on. The rest of the supporting cast and ensemble were all epic and having a ball. The show feels settled. It's coming together really nicely. Act two takes a different turn, and perhaps there is some tweaking and refining to do with how it all comes together, as I think maybe for me it lost its pace briefly in the second act. But overall, 42 Balloons is in incredible shape for a new musical, which is kind of doing its first flea stage run, which left me very, very excited. I'm excited to see what the future holds for 42 Balloons. It's not screaming commercial West End show in a usual stereotypical way, but then why shouldn't it become a commercial West End show? It's culty. It definitely has future and potential, especially in the kind of 2024 new musical theatre climate where we have Why Am I So Single coming to the West End and all these other exciting things. I guess it's just working out where and how that looks. But I've loved seeing the 42 Balloons journey so far, and I can't wait to see what happens next. The Lowry is also so good, so cool. I've never been there before. I didn't realise it has three spaces and is essentially an art centre. This is in the second space, the Keys Theatre, which seats around 400 people, I think. It was kind of intimate, but a really nice space with multiple tiers. And I can't wait to see more shows there. It's a really amazing space. So you can see 42 Balloons at the Lowry Theatre in Salford through to Sunday, the 19th of May. Then I went to see Rifko Theatre's new show, Frankie Goes to Bollywood, which is premiering at the Watford Palace Theatre ahead of a tour and London run at the South Bank Centre's Queen Elizabeth Hall. The show is written by Pravresh Kumar and follows Frankie, who dreams with her best friend of becoming a Bollywood star, of jumping into her TV screen and being in the films she loves watching. As the story proceeds, not everything is as it seems. Relationships are strained and Frankie is shocked at how she's treated, particularly by the powerful men in the industry. The score draws upon influences from Bollywood music, and the show's injected with colour and good spirit and lots of wonderful vibes. I love the sentiment of the show. We simply don't have enough South Asian representation or stories being told in theatre, particularly in musical theatre, which is wrong. There's some lovely work here, particularly from some of the company, but I'm sorry to say that for me, it just didn't quite work. It didn't quite land. At the heart of the story, there's something there, but it felt too simplistic in both concept and in writing. I think in 2024, we need more than someone dreaming of being a Southern TV. Like, it wasn't landing with the people around me. It didn't land with me. People weren't laughing at the humour or bopping along to the music or becoming fully, fully, fully invested from what I could feel, from what I could sense. Something didn't land and the creative elements didn't always come together. And I guess the show maybe felt a little inconsistent. Everyone has clearly worked so hard, which I guess is what is frustrating. The cast are out there giving their all, but there's still some struggles to overcome. For me, Frankie Goes to Bollywood isn't doing enough to create the impact needed for the story to land, and it became ballad heavy and cliche. Hopefully it'll settle, and hopefully we'll see some other Indian and Bollywood inspired shows come through over the coming years, because it's an exciting era of musical theatre, and we need more South Asian representation as part of that. But for me, in its current form, it just doesn't quite work. The cast are giving their all, there's lots to enjoy, and there's some funny lines and witty performances, etc. But it just doesn't all come together in the way that I would have hoped. So Frankie Goes to Bollywood plays on tour and in London until Sunday, the 18th of August. Finally, I saw Remembrance Monday, which is the newest gay play to open in London for a run at the Seven Dials Playhouse. Written by Michael Batten, it's about a gay couple who have a picture-perfect setup, but life kind of does its thing. Everything becomes more complicated and circumstances present some challenges and some heartbreak. MT regular Nick Hayes plays opposite Matthew Strathers in this two-hander, and they both do a stellar job. It's only 80 minutes, it's fast-paced, it's well-staged. It's kind of the sort of show which is so perfect for the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and that kind of sort of vibe. Remembrance Monday isn't doing anything revolutionary, but it is a lovely exploration into the lives of these two men. And it will be very real and relatable for many. It takes some really kind of tragic twists, but not in a way that implies being gay is all doom and gloom, which is important to me. These characters tackle their own circumstantial issues because of what life throws up for them. Alan Caesar's production is fast-paced, Andrew Exeter's design puts the show nicely in the round, and Nick Hayes does a lot of getting in and out of the bath, which dominates the set. Remembrance Monday is a kind of a harmless show, which will be really relatable for some people and really heartbreaking for some people too. I think it will bring in an audience and go on to do some brilliant things. And in amongst a crazy week, I enjoyed spending 80 minutes peering into the lives of these two men. Sometimes that's kind of the beauty of theatre and the nice sort of almost gentle escapism that I like to have. And Nick and Matthew give great performances. So you can catch Remembrance Monday at the Seven Dials Playhouse through to the 1st of June. And there we go. That is why there would never have been time to discuss all of this and more on tomorrow's normal episode. Thank you so much for listening to this bonus show talk episode of the West End Frame Show. Make sure you subscribe, follow, rate and review wherever you're listening. And whilst you're there, check out our interviews podcast In The Frame. You can follow West End Frame on Instagram and TikTok, and I'll be back tomorrow for another stagey catch-up.